Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. My Don't Look Now series is about crazy adventures with animals in the wild. The title of today's show is Don't Look Now, But I'm Being Attacked by a Mute Swan. So that you can appreciate how large this animal is, I'm going to tell you a couple facts about the mute swan. It was introduced long ago into America by the aristocrats. They brought them over because they wanted this big, beautiful white bird in their ponds, just sort of as an ornamental feature. Well, it's beautiful to see on the open waters with the cygnets, which are the babies, following behind, you know, at a great distance. So they have this beautiful S-curved neck with an orange bill, and, you know, so many paintings have them as 5 feet tall. Well, I'm going to let you know that it has a wingspan of 7.5 feet. You can find them from salt pondlands to inland water. Well, my adventure began at the invitation of one of the great science minds, Don Bauman. He invited Frankie L., the Featherman, and me to have lunch out on the water. This was his summer home out on the lake. It was like a bring-your-own-kayak day. And, of course, if I'm bringing my own kayak, I'm bringing my own fishing gear as well. So was Frankie F. The Featherman bringing binos because he's the bird guy. Hey, with a last name like Featherman, well, of course you're going to bring the binos down there. So we go down there. We are now just paddling around. We're having the greatest time. And we come back. We're having lunch at the gazebo on the lake. And I am telling you, there was so much laughter. The stories, not that I personally would ever exaggerate. Well, Don is telling a story, and this happens to be a true story, and he says about a mute swan and the cygnets and that down the cove towards the end of the lake. Well, me personally, this is something I've got to see. This is me. I'm going to film. I grab my camera, my tripod. I have a mini tripod for my kayak, and off I go. Well, I turn down this cove, and I'm about 100 yards away. So think about this. I am one football / soccer field away, and there is the drake. That is the male. The hen, the female, and the two cygnets, they are on shore. The male is just at the edge of the water. And I am telling you, in an instant, the drake looks, sees me, and he takes flight directly at me. You could hear his wingtips as they are hitting the water, and I can't even do the sound, but and it's just like they're tapping and they're hitting the water. And I'm filming this. I'm going, wow, this is cool. Until I realize that he is going to crash right into me. The mute swan hit the front of my kayak at full speed. I was crouching down into my kayak. And at the very last second, I just went, oh. Because if he hit me, he would have broken my back. He would have killed me. This had to hurt him when he hit the kayak. But I also realized in that instant, he was there to protect his young. You see, myself, I was staying at a safe distance, or so I thought 100 yards would be a safe distance. Because typically, that's about with wild animals. You don't want to get close. Well, this distance wasn't safe enough for him to protect his brood. In an instant, he recovered. He swam at a paddle's length away from the side of my kayak. And I am telling you, he instantly puffed himself up. It was like you took some type of air compressor and blew him up. He puffed himself up and his feathers began to vibrate. His feathers were vibrating and he was hissing. Now, obviously, this was an amazing display. I was paddling slowly out of the cove. I got the camera like just rolling, but I'm not really concerned about the filming aspect of this. And I am actually talking to the drake calmly. And I'm going, hey, guy, don't worry about it. I'm leaving your family. Your family's safe. Don't worry about it. And he just continued to escort me out. This was like a military escort. He followed alongside of me, and I'm just paddling very calm, very slow. And I'm trying to get out of there, and he stayed a paddle length away from me. So now I am in open water. And he's, you know, so I'm in out of the cove and into the, you know, larger part of the lake. And I'm about easy half a mile away from his family. So I decided, hey, this is far enough. So I said, let me just paddle a little bit faster to separate myself from the drake. Well, I began to paddle a little faster, breathe a little easier, and then I heard his wings again. He smashes into the back of my kayak at full speed again, as if to say, come back again and I'll finish you off. I was amazed at this parental protection. Think about all the different animals I've researched in the wild, the grizzly bears, the wolves. I have never seen anything like this. Well, I continued to paddle back to that gazebo, and they were all still sitting there telling stories. And I said, boy, do I have a story for you. And they all chimed in, yeah, what kind of tale do you have to tell me this time? You know, that was a little friendship and a disbelief in the story and all that. Well, I know that I had a great story to tell them, and I wonder what my next adventure has in store for me. More important, what are the animals planning for my next crazy encounter? Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. My Don't Look Now series is about crazy adventures with animals in the wild. The title of today's show is Don't Look Now, but there's a chipmunk on my neck. Funny that when I mention the word chipmunk, people think about like Alvin, Theodore, and Simon. Well, what about Ralph? You don't know the story about Ralph. Well, let's start with, I have this great strawberry patch in, I am telling you that I'm the organic guy, organic strawberries, they are now ripe, I'm going out with a big bowl, and I'm going to pick a huge bowl of strawberries, and I am going to have this big old smile on my face, because I love strawberries. Well, here's the deal. I go to pick them, and half of them have bites inside of them. I have this netting over the whole patch, and I'm trying to keep out the chipmunks, but the skunks and the possums and the raccoons and the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, they're keeping everything out of there. Well, the chipmunks, they find their way through the netting, and they bite into like half the strawberries. You see, my deal is this, and I've had problems before, cantaloupes, this and that. I don't mind if they just take a bite out of one and then finish it, go bite, 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 and finish it. But they're taking a bite and then moving on to the next one, bite. So they're ruining half the crop, and that's every day. So I have these big, safe traps, different sizes, one for chipmunks, one for groundhogs. And what I do is I will capture an animal. I will go to an appropriate place out in the wild to release the animal safely, because that's most important to me, is to have my animals safely released somewhere else. So I now catch a chipmunk, and I am going to release him into a great wooded area that I know he's going to love. So I now have the safe trap in my truck. I put him on the passenger side on the floor, and the chipmunk is on a sugar high, and he's just like racing around, running around, and won't slow down. And all of a sudden, I'm turning the corner, just going up the hill from my road, and the trap door opens up, and out goes the chipmunk. He goes running across my lap, and he just, like, it was amazing. Like, he just kept running through the truck. So now I am pulling into town. I am getting to a traffic light, and Ralph the chipmunk, you see, real, and I'm going to tell you the real deal. In science, when we are doing research on animals, you guys know I've done research on grizzly bears and wolves and all these different animals, and we are not allowed to give animals names because there cannot be an emotional attachment. So they actually have to have numbers to them. So it'd be like research number 51, and that's wolf 51. And actually, that was an actual number of one of the wolves I did study on. Well, you see, I figure I can call him Ralph because I'm going to be releasing him real soon. So I pull up to the traffic light. I am at like a main intersection, and Ralph runs across the back of my neck. And I was like, holy moly. It's a good thing I like wasn't driving down the road, and sort of tickled, but and he's gone. So I was actually driving to my editors, because my editors for some of the things we were filming documentary-wise, we're going to stop there. So I get to this parking lot. I open up. I have my Colorado crew cab, so it's got four doors. Open up all four doors, and I figure, hey, I'm there a few minutes because I never like to be late anyway. So I'm there a few minutes, and I figure I'll wait for Ralph to come out. Waiting, waiting, waiting. No Ralph. I'm there about a half hour, and I said, hey, I got to go. And I had to close the doors to my truck. So I go in, I tell my story to the editor and his staff, and he begins to tell me about squirrels in his attic, and I tell him how to get rid of them, et cetera. So done with the meeting, now back in the parking lot, open up all the doors again, half hour. There is no Ralph coming out of the truck. He's just content. And then I realize with the child seat in the back, Gabby has spilled about 40,000 different Cheerios on the ground in all of our adventures going out there. So I'm like, all right, well, he has enough food to live in here for the next 1,000 years with all those Cheerios. So anyway, I decided I'd drive off to the wooded area. There were rock walls there, open fields. It was the perfect habitat for him. So I go there, I open up the drawers there, and I'm now hanging out, and you could hear Ralph just like moving about. So I knew he was still in the truck, but he would not come out. And I'm like, no, come on, Ralphie, do me a favor. You gotta leave here. So I decided, all right, let's drive back home. I got the truck in the garage. I reset the trap. I put it down there, put a little piece of pear. They love the pears inside there. And Ralph decided not to eat the pear because, hey, why would I eat a pear when I got all these Cheerios in hiding somewhere? So now it's a couple hours later. I decide I would drive back to the woodland. I would open up the door and hopefully Ralph would go out. And I don't know how long I'm going to have to wait for Ralph to make this decision. So I get there, I open up the door, and as soon as I open the door, there goes Ralph. He runs right out, and I guess like he knew that he didn't want to go back in the trap. I guess he had his fill of Cheerios. He knew that he was going to be in the safe place, and he was gone. Well, up next, I'm going back home to check my groundhog trap. I wonder what my next adventure has in store for me. More important, what are the animals planning for my next crazy adventure? Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoors Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. My Don't Look Now series is about crazy adventures with animals in the wild. Today, the title of the show is Don't Look Now, But There's a Snake on My Boots. For me, growing up, my spring rite of passage was being present at every opening day of every fishing season. The first Saturday in April meant fishing with my two best friends and cousins, Jimmy Toots and Donnie B. Most opening days for us started at the base of Saxon Falls. We were in our waders at sunrise because you needed to find the best spot. Opening day to a trout fisherman is like being online for a shopper on Black Friday. Not online on a computer. I mean, you're standing online and you're there nice and early. Well, for me, I hate to shop, but I love to fish. So our first opening day away from the falls was at another place Jimmy Toots took us to. It was a perfect day. Early April, sunny in the 60s, and that's rare. I've been out for some opening days, no exaggeration, 30s and snowing. There was a footbridge over the river from where we parked our truck. You looked across the river, and next to the footbridge, I consider this the ultimate fishing spot. So did another fisherman because he was already there. Well, I stayed on my side, and I waited for my chance at the ultimate spot. There's a saying that 10% of the water holds 90% of the fish. And you need to be able to read the water. Another saying is that 10% of the fishermen catch 90% of the fish. And I want to be in that category, and that's because you're able to read the water. So you are not allowed to fish until 8 a.m. So every fisherman's looking at his watch going, is it 8, 7:58? And it's Not like pro baseball where someone like throws in the first fish and all of a sudden fishing begins. So I am there now and I'm fishing for a little bit of time because it's now 8 a.m. And for about the first half hour, no luck, but great luck. The guy in the ultimate spot is moving on. I will be in fishing, the fishing haven of places right there. So I walk in my waders and my boots with my fanny pack of gear over the bridge to go into the ultimate spot. So now I'm there. The sun is shining on my face. And it's that April just getting like, you know, when the sun's just starting to get a little stronger and you're feeling it. And I am, because you never want to have your shadow on the river because that would tell fish that there's a predator above. So I'm in the perfect place because it's shining on my face and my shadow's away from me. So I'm there maybe 10 minutes and a garter snake races across my boot and disappears into the leaf litter. What's the big deal? I love snakes. Most times I'd go racing after them and, you know, go picking them up. But this was the first day of fishing season. So I continue fishing. I'm waiting for that big moment. A few minutes later, that pesky snake now goes back over my boots from the opposite direction. And I'm not joking, because for those of you that have listened to many of my shows, you know that I love snakes and I would typically just drop my rod and go chasing after them. But hey, first day of fishing season. So now it's about a half hour into the ultimate spot and I don't even have a hint of fish. So I walk back over the bridge and go to my original spot. I figure, well, I may as well go study the river, read it a little bit, and plan my attack for the rest of the day. So I am now there, and as I settled in, another fisherman went there to the, what I'm going to call, as of this moment, the not-so-ultimate spot. After about 15 minutes, I hear the fisherman in the not-so-ultimate spot screaming, "Snakes! Snakes! Snakes!" Well, I look over, and there are thousands of garter snakes all around him, all, like, there was, you know, first thought in my mind, wow, scientists, hey, this is cool. Second thought as a fisherman, darn snakes disturbing my fishing. Third thought, well, not me. So I began sort of to laugh a little bit because I always say this. This is funny when it doesn't happen to you. So he is actually with his rod beating the ground going, snakes, 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 snakes. And I started to think about, oh, so what went on there? Because again, the scientist in me started to kick in. 60 degrees, sunny. There had to be a snake den on the side of the river there. And the first fisherman or I probably kicked away some of the leaves covering the den there. And with the warm sun getting in there and warming up inside the den, the snakes decided it was time to come out for another year. You see, I know a lot about snake dens because where I grew up, there was one in my backyard and we'd have snakes coming out early spring all the time. So I would have hundreds. This one happened to be thousands, so this den was much larger. But I would have hundreds of snakes coming out in my backyard, and I'd pick them up. And I describe snakes like this. Snakes are like humans. They all have personalities. Most humans you meet are nice, but every now and then you meet one that's not so nice. Well, snakes are the same way. And in my backyard, I would just pick up a snake, put them down, pick up a snake. And once they would go, excuse me, don't touch me. So I knew quite a bit about, again, just my love for snakes, I guess, happened at that point in time. So you see, I just absolutely love being around them, but I guess not being surrounded by them. So you see, we went back to the river. The total for the day, hey, I caught one brown trout, one snake over my boots, one belly laugh watching a fisherman dance with thousands of snakes all around him, and one, because it could have been easily have been me there. I wonder what my next adventure has in store for me. More important, what are the animals planning for my next crazy encounter? Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.